This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
But this morning I'm going to bring the word in English. I think we've done it a long time ago, so it gaan 'n bietjie hak en tak miskien gaan, but I'm convinced the Holy Spirit will make it clear to you what He wants to share with us this morning. So as I gave away some of the snippets already, I said that thanksgiving and thankfulness and praise often they go together. And I'm going to focus more on the thanksgiving part this morning, but praise is a part of that. And I just wanted, as we worshiped, a few scriptures just came to mind, powerful scriptures of praise. And you know, one of them is, it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's the exchange that happens, that when we feel heavy, when we are frustrated, whatever happens inside, what we choose, what we put on, if we put on praise, it will change. It will change that situation. This morning, I want to encourage you that praise and thanksgiving, mostly, above all, it's an act of the will. I think if you can take that away today, that is something that I really want to underline, is that we make choices. And as we grow in the Lord, as we become more mature, we start to act and know what to do rather than how we feel we should respond, what we feel we should do. But a powerful scripture says, it's in Psalm 8, verse 2. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. So through the praise of children and infants, which we normally will perceive as weaker, the weaker ones. Now the Lord says that we should become like children. But it's a powerful thing that God says that if we praise Him as His children, He goes and He, God, establishes a stronghold against our enemies. And He silences the foe and the avenger. You know, sometimes there's just voices in your head, accusations. And it's important to know that the enemy of our souls, the devil, Satan, he is the accuser of the brethren. He goes around and he accuses you. And sometimes that accusations, it gets to us. And you don't know how to get rid of that. This is the way. We come to God and we start to praise Him. And we thank Him and we lift Him up. And as we do that, He will be the one who silences the avenger and the foe. This is an incredible way to fight our battles. It's such a privilege to come to God. It's a picture of dependency upon Him. And we say, God, we cannot fight this battle. We come to You because Your arm is not too short to save. Your power is not limited in any way. And as we look to Him and as we praise Him, He responds. And He changed things. There's, I think, it's Psalm 149 that says, with the high praises of God in our mouths and the two-edged sword in our hands, we execute judgment on the nations. And it's with the word of God, it's with the praising of God that the enemy is judged in situations many times. This is really important. So I want to encourage you, difficult times, if you don't know how to pray, how many of you sometimes don't know what to pray? The situation just overwhelms you and you're just like, I don't even know what to pray now. What you do then, just praise Him and start going to thanksgiving. Eventually, it will go into worship. But in that process, God comes and He comes as the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts is the Lord of heaven's armies. He's a warrior. We should know that. The scripture speaks of God as a warrior. A God who battles, He fights battles for us and on our behalf. So, before I derail myself, let us get back to my original plan and message this morning. And Thanksgiving is something that we all know we should do. Amen. We should give God thanks. I knew that as well. But what I'm very thankful for is that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And He's constantly busy teaching us and giving us greater revelation of things in the Word. He says He'll remind us of the things that Jesus said, and He'll tell us of things to come. And if we keep close to Him, He will keep on revealing Jesus to us in a greater way. He will keep on unlocking scriptures that doesn't make sense. How many of you, when you look back, year two or three or five even, you look, certain scriptures didn't make sense to you, but now you have understanding. It's the Holy Spirit that opens up the scriptures to us as we spend time with Him. So, I don't know about you, but some mornings, you get up and you have an idea in your head how the day is going to go. And things should go according to plan. And as you get up, things doesn't go according to plan. And one by one, things are going wrong. And sooner than later, it goes pear-shaped. So I had one of those mornings. And for a time, a little boy, he stayed with us and he's in a school. And after intercession, I go back home and I pick him up and I take him to school. So as I reach the home, I realize he's not up yet. So now I wake him up knowing that a kid, you're trying to hurry a kid when he's sleepy. He's like a snail. He's just going along so slowly. And I'm looking at the time and I'm seeing, yo, it's going to get late. And I have an appointment. I have things to do at work. And he's just carrying on in his slucky mode. And eventually, as the frustration builds, I get him into the car. And as I drive off, lo and behold, a learner driver. Immediately, it's 5 to 10 minutes that has been added to your drive. It should be a 2-minute drive. And I like, okay, I'm not, I see you, I know, I was there as well, take your time. Oh, all right, there, daar gaat die kar, frekkie kar, right, it's okay, next time, ek maak die spasie net so bietjie groter by die bulkie, jy weet. But in any ways, the frustration keeps on building, and as I'm driving, I shouldn't be looking on my phone, but I see things at work, things not falling into place as it should, few problems there as well, and now I'm late as well, and the frustration keeps on building. And eventually I drop the kid at school, and then I get a taxi or two, and like this is, as the morning starts out like that, normally my days, it's like a railway track. It's just a train spoor. If it starts out like that, it's heading in one direction, and the next stop is not a good one or a nice one. And so eventually it spirals downward, and I just become impatient with people. And you look back at the end of that day and you say, oh, there has been better days. But as I was in the situation, knowing where it is heading, I come to the Lord as I'm driving. And I'm like, yo, I'm in this hole and I can feel the frustration. And I'm like, please, Lord, just help me with this. It's not that bad. I make it groter as what it is. Some way it will work out. But as I do that, nothing really happens. And I know if the Lord doesn't change something now, it's going to be very difficult to change the situation. And the Lord just spoke to me. He said, the way out, basically, He said, Thanksgiving. That's your answer. And as He said that, you know, when the Lord speaks clearly into a situation, it's normally not something that you would have think of in that situation. And as He spoke that, I realized and I knew that was the thing, that was the key for me in that situation. And it's important to know that when God speaks, it's incredible that He shows us what the answer is, but we still have to use that key. So I still had to go over into Thanksgiving. And even though I didn't feel like I had anything to thank Him at that moment, I just started to thank Him for who He is and what He has done. And eventually, it moved on and it built. It's almost something, soos 'n kar wat jy stoot, en die begin is dit swaar moeilik, maar tot hy 'n bietjie momentum kry, and it just keeps on building the momentum And eventually, as I did that, something started to change inside of me. I felt the peace of God, and something changed in my head and in my heart. And that was a powerful moment because I knew about Thanksgiving. That's recent. That's a few weeks ago. I knew about Thanksgiving, but I realized something powerful was opgeslijt in Thanksgiving that I wasn't aware of. And because of that experience, I went and I started to search the scriptures for Thanksgiving. And as I did that, the Holy Spirit just opened up a few things that I didn't know before. And some of those things I want to share with you this morning. And I've come to realize that although it should be an essential part of the Christian life, it's often very neglected. Because the world around us, which wants to push us into its mold, wants to conform us to the ways of the world, there's never enough. So it will always convey the message, there's more for you. Get more, 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 more. So we'll always be at the looking out for something that we do not have yet. It's amper soos Adam and Eva in die tuin. They had all the trees, the whole garden, but eventually, sooner than later, they desired that one thing that they could not get. Their focus shifted to everything that they had, to the one thing that they did not have. And sometimes in our lives, that's the case. We become thankless, and sometimes even unthankful, towards the things that God has done for us, and we start to focus on what we do not have yet. And we get frustrated many times because we do not get what we want. So that's what I've come to realize. And as I look around, I just see that increase. And we don't have to be surprised because ungratefulness. In Timothy, one of the signs of the last days will be ungratefulness. We will perceive it or see it as hectic sins. Among them is ungratefulness. And I want us to go where it all starts. So maybe before I start rolling out the scriptures, there's going to be a lot of scriptures, okay? So remember what I'm trying to convey is that you'll see where Thanksgiving comes, or the golden thread that runs through the word of Thanksgiving, okay? So I would prefer if you follow on the slides, otherwise you're going to lie around in your Bible a lot. Okay, so where does Thanksgiving start for us as believers, at least? I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. It says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow or to increase to the glory of God. So Paul writes, he says that the grace, that's the grace of God in salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. So that grace, as it reaches people, it should cause thanksgiving to increase and to overflow in their lives. Now, most of you will remember the day that the Lord saved you. Amen? And when you look at new believers, it's incredible. But it's also sad in a sense because we are reminded many times of what we felt at that stage. You just see the joy and you see the thankfulness. Yo, God has brought us out of darkness into His light. He set us free. So thankful for life. So thankful for the Word. So thank you. Thankful for the Holy Spirit that's with us. We can feel His presence. Just so thankful. But sadly, many times it dries up. It dries up. And I believe that even though that was the starting point, we can revert back to that, to always, when we look back at that, the sacrifice that God has made for us once and for all, that should almost open up the well of thanksgiving alone. That thing, being aware of the grace of God, should open up a well inside of us of thanksgiving. All right, so that's the starting point. And we're going to move to Colossians 3:17. It says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, to everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed. So whatever you do means whatever you do. So if whatever you're saying, whatever you're doing, if you're washing the car, if you're working in the garden, if you're at your work, if you're exercising, if you're jogging, whatever you are doing, thanksgiving should be a part of that. So it's not for a specific occasion. It's not for a certain day in the week. It's for each and every moment of every day. And we see in Scripture that thanksgiving is actually a command of Scripture, of the Word of God. It says, be thankful. And like I've mentioned this morning, it's something that we struggle with. At least I struggled with the why I respond on if I feel thankful or not. So it's nie bewusstelik nie. But if I don't feel thankful necessarily, it doesn't go over to thanksgiving. So I'm not always unthankful. I'm just thankless sometimes. And if we understand that it's an act of the will, we can exercise our will at moments to give thanks to God. I'll speak about that a bit later. I want to move to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 18. Are you following? It's a bit quick. I'm looking at the time and I'm knowing what I want to say, so I'm going to speed up the process. Say to the guy next to you, buckle up. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in some circumstances. Thank you. All circumstances. But the main thing here is that we are all on the look out for the will of God in our lives. Amen? We want to be in the will of God. I ask a Christian, do you want to be in the will of God? Do you want to know the will of God for your life? Yes, absolutely. The moment I know the will of God, I will walk into the will. I will not astray from the path. I will walk in the will of God. But I don't know the will of God always. There's one for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's the will of God. So saying that means that the moment we stop giving thanks, we move out of the will of God. I didn't see it like that. And we can walk in our calling. Ons kan bly waar ons moet bly, by die werk wees wat ons voor die Here sê ons moet doen. Ons kan wees waar ons moet wees. But the moment we stop giving thanks, we move out of the will of God. Even if it's for a moment or a season or whatever, but stop giving thanks and you're moving out of the will of God. That's something that made a big impact on me when I read that, when I received the revelation of that. So all circumstances, it doesn't matter what we are going through, there's always thanks to be given to God. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always and for everything. So I read the previous one, and I'm like, give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, thank you. It's not at least, it's not for all circumstances. So, thank you. And then I read the next one, says, giving thanks always and for everything. I'm like, yeah, for everything. So this scripture really removes any doubt when we should give thanks to God. It says always, and it says for everything. And this may sound difficult, it did to me, but we're going to have a look a bit closer later. For now, if you see it through the lens of Romans 8, verse 28, which says that for those who love God, He will work out all things to our good. So hy sal alles ten goede meewerk vir die wat hom lief het. Die oomblik as ons daai deur daai lens kyk, of as dit the overarching umbrella of our lives and every issue that becomes a reality, we become able to do that, knowing that even if I don't understand I can say, Lord, I thank you that you understand. Dat nie om kant gevang word. You know what you're doing, God. I thank you. I can't see how this is working out for my good, but I know you, and you are good, and you are for me. And that's why I say thank you, Lord, for what you are busy with. We spoke about his presence. I'm not going to spend much time there because we spoke about that in the beginning. Really important thing, entering his presence. Psalm 100, 4 to 5, entering his gates, coming to God. It's important to know when we come to God, how do we come to God? We come with thanksgiving. We come with praise. That is hoe ons opdaag. And then I read the reasons that it gives. Psalms, it's great. Psalm 95 says the same thing. We enter his presence with thanksgiving. Now, God is everywhere. We know that. Amen? But the manifestation of his presence is not there always. So that's what I'm referring to with these scriptures. Entering into the manifestation, his manifest presence. Where, like this morning, we became aware, okay, God is here, but it's in a different way. Something changed a bit now as we sang various songs or whatever. So our response in moments like that should be thanksgiving, should be praise. Eventually, this Psalm 95, you can go read it. Eventually, it goes over to worship. Now, worship, Colin will tell you a lot about worship. But worship, in essence, mostly when it's referred to in scripture, is actually a posture. So it's a posture of kneeling down. So that's what happened. Eventually, when you worship, at times, you have this urge or you have this feeling, you just want to go low or you want to do something with your body. And that's normally when we go into worship. But that's not what I want to focus on this morning. And as we read in Revelations, we see that the beings that worshiping God, saying the Lamb that was slain, praising him, thanksgiving is part of what they are doing there. They're still giving him thanks. So this will be forever. We'll be thanking God, thanking the Lamb that was slain. That's why I say when we revert back to the first scripture, it's if the Holy Spirit just enlightens us again, make us aware again of what God has done for Andre Basson and for me and for Jakes and Jules and for all of us. When we understand again, then thanksgiving will be released in our hearts. That is what happens and that's what should happen. So, where we see thanksgiving popping up is with prayer, in combination with prayer. It goes hand in hand with prayer. And Phil read that scripture or a part of that scripture that I want to speak to or what I want to read now. Philippians 4, 6-7. It says, well-known one, powerful one, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind, Christ Jesus. Now, we love this. You can make your requests known to God by prayer and supplication. Hallelujah. It says, be anxious for nothing. And gives us the how. How does being anxious stop in your life when you come to God and you make your request known to God. But the with thanksgiving part I skipped over sometimes. And I come to God and I just come with a load of requests, like requesting a lot of things. But thankfulness is necessary to make various forms of prayer effective. And with the absence of thanksgiving, many prayers that we pray are not effective. Because part of this, if you can call it the equation, is that thanksgiving should be the essential part in what you are bringing to God. So you're making a lot of requests, but you should thank him as well. Sometimes in my head, I think I'm going to thank him when he brings the breakthrough. But it's not how he wants us to come. He wants us to thank him already. I think we should actually start with thanksgiving. And as we start with thanksgiving, we are reminded of the things that God already has done in our lives. And as we do that, faith starts to increase in our hearts. And as we make the request, then we do it with faith. And faith is also an essential part when we pray to God. So, something I didn't see that clearly before. And this, so it's a pattern. And there's about 20-odd psalms where Israel, they are commanded or encouraged to bring thanksgiving, sing songs of thanksgiving to God. And there's a lot of psalms that where people and Israel, where they cry out for help for God. They're crying out for help. Something is wrong. They need Him. And then it ends off, it concludes with thanksgiving. I wanted to read some of them, but there's just not time for that. It's amazing. So it's the same pattern that we see in Psalms that Paul is referring to. So that basically what they are doing in that cry for aid or help is they are making requests for help to God. But in the end, they slot in that thanksgiving. And I think if thanksgiving increases, it should overflow. It's something that should always become more and more in our life, because in our walk with God, He just does more and more things. But the thing with God is that we can thank Him for the future as well. Every promise is yes and amen in Christ, eh? So that is an amazing pattern that we should follow as believers. It's set out in the Word. Paul goes ahead, and most of his letters that he writes, it starts with him thanking God before he starts interceding for the specific church or the specific person. And I'm going to share a few scriptures now, but I want you, so it's a lot of scriptures, but I want you just to see this one thing, is that he starts thanking God and he ends off praying or interceding. So he also follows this pattern. He doesn't just tell them to do it. He does it himself. So Romans 1:8, I'm going to go quickly through them. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers. Ephesians 1:15, 16. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippians 1, 3-4, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, thanking God in all his prayers. Colossians 1:3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Always thank God when we pray for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Quite clear. It's the pattern that Paul followed. Interceding for congregations. The last one was Timothy, which was his spiritual son. There's this incredible connection between prayer, between thanksgiving, and that which releases the power of God. I'm going to tell you the stories. You know them well. It's no time to read them. So one was the multiplication of the fish and the bread. So when he received the fish and the bread, all that he does, he said, thank you. Thank you, God. He didn't ask God to multiply. He just said, thank you. And the miracle went. Amen. Calling Lazarus. He went to Lazarus. You know the story. Raised him from the dead. He just said, Lord, Father, I thank you that you hear me. That you always hear me. And he called him. There's something in giving thanks to God. That's a connection to faith, but it moves God. Thanking Him, and He responds. There's something powerful in this, but I think there's something powerful in unthankfulness as well, because the enemy uses the thankfulness part. Right, we're moving swiftly ahead. So I said, I will get back to Ephesians 5:20, which seemed like a tall order when I read it the first time, which says, giving thanks always and for everything to God. And like I said, looking through the lens of Romans 8:28, it becomes possible. But I want to give you the context of that verse. We're going to read Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 20. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So in the context that it is spoken of here, where he says, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on, being filled with the Spirit, expressions that we see is continuous praise. There's a singing to God, songs to God, and there's a continuous giving of thanks, and there's a submissiveness that comes with being filled with the Spirit. So Peter spoke about being filled with the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago. And we see even with thanksgiving, we need the Holy Spirit. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the expressions will be a continuous thanksgiving towards God. It's almost a relief to hear that the Holy Spirit also works in us to bring forth thanksgiving. Philippians says that it's God who works in us to will and to do. It's God who works in us to will and to do. It's God who works in us to bring forth thanksgiving in our lives. Powerful thing when we start to rely on the Spirit, saying, Lord, fill me, Lord. I see this thanksgiving thing. I'm lacking in it, God. I want to overflow in this, but I need your Holy Spirit. So if you have a start to make, our natural reaction is, okay, we'll harder work on thanksgiving. No, we should go lower to God. Receive more grace for the empowerment of bringing forth thanksgiving in our lives. And so that's the one part. God works it in us and through us. But there's another part that we have to play. Psalm 116:17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalm 50:23. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. So there's moments when we don't feel like thanking God. When we can't see in the situation what do we need to thank God for. In the moments when we exercise thanksgiving, it becomes an offering unto God. The offering of thanksgiving. Something that we can actually give to God. It's not many things that we can give to Him. We can give Him thanks. We can give Him praise. We can worship Him. And that's something that struck me. As I mentioned previously, I didn't get a bewustlik oor gedinkie, but something in my life, I just tend to how I feel. So I actually bewust for my thanklessness, so I don't respond on that. But the God is so good. He says His goodness that leads us to repentance. He comes, He convicts us, He shows us what's His way, so we can repent and turn and walk in His way. So remember that this morning. It's not to condemn you and see how unthankful you've become. Well, part of that is to see how unthankful you have become or thankless you have become to return to the way you were walking when you got saved. Quickly. So there's a lot of scriptures talking about thanksgiving, thankfulness, talking about praise. But there's also a lot of scriptures talking about or mentioning unthankfulness, ungrateful, complaining, grumbling. And I just want to use one, or I'll end up using more than one, but I want to focus on one, and that is the Israelites, because we know the story, so I can go quickly through it. So God saves Israel from Egypt. They were slaves. They were in bondage. Wasn't nice there in Egypt. God supernaturally, through Moses, delivered them. Yay. He delivered them.
Hallelujah.
Yes. And then shortly after that, they started grumbling, or they started to complain. They said, "Lord, have you delivered us to die here? Lord, why are we here? How long will we be here? Will we be here, Lord?" Heilerach, soos Colin say. And now, although this is actual history, that's what happened. But this is also a prophetic picture, a symbolic one, of us being saved from the world, from the power of sin. God comes with His power. He sets us free. He sets us free from sin and bondage. He makes us whole. We are so thankful. But like them, sooner than later, we forget about that. We start to complain. We start to doubt if God is going to take us into His promises. When we start to doubt God, thankfulness will not follow. Remember that. Scriptures that mention other scriptures in Jude, sê dit enetjie van hom. So as jy gou 'n boek wil lees, lees Jude. Dis een hoofstuk. In Jude, grumbling or complaining is seen as ungodliness. Dis rowwe goedie. It's seen as ungodliness. The word there is a person who complains about his lot in life. Dan gou weer wakeoors, man. Haar is te reguit, my brand te maklik in die son. Whatever. But the lot that you have in life, you just complain about constantly. It's ungodliness. I want to read one more. It's Philippians 2:14. It says that we should do all things without grumbling or disputing. So somebody contrasts with the other scripture that says we should do always give thanks to God. Always praise Him in all circumstances, for everything, in word, in deed, always, alles, heel tyd. But it says then we should do all things without grumbling. It mentions the other side of it as well, confirming or pushing it from the other side as well. And yeah. So we're going to land with Phil and the band. If you can come up, it would be great. Thanks. So as I was searching the scriptures about thanksgiving, because there was a moment where I understood that what I know about thanksgiving is limited. And I wanted to know more. And God revealed more. And as I searched the scriptures, God opened up more. But He will open up. He will give this to us. But it's on us if we're going to take this and apply this in our lives. And as I saw the position of thanksgiving in my life, I had to repent of becoming thankless and even ungrateful many times. There's a story that Jesus told. What happened was 10 lepers approached Jesus, and they from a distance because they couldn't come close to people. It was contagious, and they shouted to Him that, "Lord, will you heal us? Lord, please heal us." And He said, "Go your way, go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were healed. But only one of that lepers returned and praised God, fell before the feet of Jesus and gave thanks to Him. Only one. Jesus' response, was daar nie 10 gewees nie? Was daar nie 10 gewees nie? En as ek het lees, denk ek, ja, na die ander mense, ha? Loop hulle net aan. Jo, sê die Here, maar jy is ook so. Jy vra baie keer vir my goed, you ask things of me, you make that requests. Then I do them, you don't come back and say, thank you, God. I see. Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you for providing. You know what? Sometimes we don't even ask God things. And He just does it. Because He's good. And He's for us and He's a Father. But the response of Jesus is the response of God. He wants us to respond to Him. Say, Lord, I just see Your hand in my life, God. I thank You for what You're doing. Thank You for how You are providing for me. But important is that we should not just let this go by. If the Lord spoke to you this morning, there's a moment where you have an opportunity to turn, to repent, to walk in the way that you previously walked, or even a way that you have not walked before, but it is God's way. And God's way is that we as believers, even in the midst of our country, in the midst of your personal situations, thanksgiving should come from our lips. All circumstances and everything. Because we know God is at work. God is in control. He's demonstrated His love for us. He has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He provides for us and He will continue to provide for us. I tell you, if you start to do this, there's this momentum that happens. But there's a power of God that's attached to this. And we need to encourage each other to keep on thanking God. Keep on moving into thanksgiving. There's something, it's om te ontgin vir ons. It's more than this that I've shared this morning. There's more to tap into. But let's take the first steps. As a house, that we will be a house known for our thanksgiving to God. Never forgetting what He has done. One sacrifice, once and for all. He's made that sacrifice for us. As you stand with me this morning, I'm going to end off with one last thing. So that's the one thing. I'm not going to call you out. You're welcome to pray with me afterward and some of the leaders if there's something specific about this. But I want to deal with God, wherever you are, whatever He spoke to you. But I want to tell one more thing. You all know the story of Jonah. Jonah was listening to many bookies. Those klein was groot vis. Jonah was a prophet in very short. He was a prophet. God called him to go to Nineveh, and He gave him a word to speak to them. Jonah, what the thing he got right is he stood up, but then he started to run. He ran from God, and he ran from the presence of God, the word says. But take note, side note, you can't run from God. He will find you. He will find you. But as Jonah was running away, he went onto a ship, and the ship was sailing, and God caused a storm on the sea. And the other guys in the ship was very scared, and Jonah eventually said, well, boys, the reason for this, I'm the reason. So throw me overboard, and everything will stop. They didn't want to, eventually they did, and it was so. And as he went into the water, the fish came and he gobbled him up. Now, as I was thinking about this, but I guess it was, wat maak jy onder jou omstandighede, broer? Die ou was in sy omstandighede, letterlijk. Inside of his circumstances. And it wasn't a nice place to be in, I'm sure. Inside of a fish, all the acids and whatever there was. So my response, if I landed inside of that fish, Jere, help. Jere, help me. Interesting thing. Jonah said nothing for 3 days and 3 nights. He said nothing. He said, and then Jonah 2 says, then Jonah prayed. And he started to pray. And as he prayed, nothing happened. Prayed and he prayed, long prayer, you can read it, Jonah 2. He prayed, and eventually he ended off his prayer basically. It says, but with the voice of thanksgiving, I will sacrifice to you. In that moment, it says, the Lord spoke to the fish and he spit him out, he vomited him out. Nothing changed until Jonah, in the fish, in that circumstance, he started to thank God. That was the last place he wanted to thank God, I'm sure. You're inside a fish. How can you thank God in that moment? What is there to thank God for? Now this morning, some of you are in that fish. Some sort of a fish. Something that's not nice. Something that you don't want to be in. You don't know how you're going to get yourself out of the situation. But when we start thanking God, he commanded that fish, spit him out. He spoke to the fish. He will start to speak to situations. Like, it's like the praise. He starts to fight for us. When we thank him, that was an offering. There was nothing else he could give him inside of a fish. But he could do one thing, is the offering of thanksgiving. And this morning, I want to share this with you and say, wherever you find yourself in, maybe not now, maybe in the future, may the Holy Spirit remind us of this word. The last thing, the knee-jerk reaction, is we complain. God wants to change that the knee-jerk reaction becomes thanking him. Because we understand what happens when we thank God. And even if he doesn't change that circumstance, he will change you with thanksgiving. God changed me that morning, how I felt, what was going in my head. So the person that you're struggling with, or the situation that you're struggling with, start thanking God for that situation. Ask him to show you what is good in that situation or that person. As you do that, it will change. It will change. So I encourage you, we're going to worship God. We're going to do a song of praise. And in this, deal with one of those two things. Repent if you need to repent. Secondly, start thanking him if you're inside of a fish. All right. So if you want to come and pray with me, you're so welcome to do that.
I just want to say, when Jonah, that word that he praised is todah. And it means in Hebrew that he got up and he started to dance. Okay, it's todah. And you must todah for God to react in the fish.
Hallelujah.
He spoke to the fish.
So shall we respond on that? For everything that you have done for us. Lord, we thank you that in you we live and move and have our being. God, we thank you that everything good, you say all good things come from you, comes down from above, comes down from the Father of lights.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.